This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thank you for making the time to come here today. I realise you're a busy man and there's been, let's just say, a little bit of controversy swirling lately, but...
Turbulence in the air, might you describe it?
A bit of static?
No, not much static. I think it's turbulence, isn't it?
It's great to have you here to answer some questions that our community has about Beyond Blue and you as chair. So, but first off, I'd like to know, how did you come to Beyond Blue? What is it that actually, you know, you post-politics that made you say, I want to address depression?
I'll try and make it as short a story as I can. In 1997, when I was still Premier, my daughter, who was at university down at Deakin in Geelong, lost two of her male friends in separate car accidents in the Western District. And they both happened within about a week. And when the second one occurred, she came to me and was in tears, very upset, and said, Dad, what can you do to stop these young men dying on the roads? And I thought she was talking about reducing the road toll, and I think she thought that as well. When we learnt a bit more about the deaths, we actually found out that they weren't normal car accidents. Both these young men had split up from their girlfriends, or the girlfriends had left them. One was engaged to a very beautiful, well-educated girl. The other was in a long-term relationship. And the young ladies had decided, as was their right, to pursue careers that were not available in the Western District. So they came up to Melbourne. And neither of these young men adjusted to that change very well at all. And as a result, they used their motor vehicle to take their lives. They were suicides. So that changed the emphasis a little bit. And I then thought, well, what can we do to reduce the suicide level? And at that stage, it was closer to 3,000 than 2,000, which it is today. But then on taking advice, I realised that to actually try and stop suicide, you've really got to have a one-on-one relationship 24 hours of the day. It's like, you know, people ring up and want an ambulance, but there isn't an ambulance at every corner. So I didn't think we could do much in the area of suicide. So I then went a step back and said, well, what causes people to think about suicide? And that is either emotional or clinical depression. Not in all cases, but in the majority. Because there are some people who very consciously make a decision they want to end their lives for one or several reasons. But often it is either emotional or clinical. And in this case, it was probably emotional rather than clinical depression. So then I said, well, I don't know much about this. Now, remember, I'm still Premier, and technically the buck stops on the Premier's desk, and although I had a health minister, I wasn't terribly involved in the intricacies of health, but I was very well aware and involved in the reforms that we were putting through the health system. So I called a meeting of mental health experts from around Australia. And we met in my office just up the road here for the best part of a day. And I said to the guys, this is my challenge. How do I try and make an impact in the area of depression and mental health? And after three quarters of a day's talking, I thought of setting up a depression institute. And I started learning more about depression and mental health. And that led me to then make a decision to go to Canberra for what would turn out to be my last Premier's Conference in 99 to put on the agenda a national approach to depression, because there was no national approach to mental health and there was therefore no national approach to depression. And unfortunately, I didn't get it on the agenda, probably because I was too late and we had a full agenda. But I'll never forget two things. One, the head of the Prime Minister's Department at the time said to one of my Premier colleagues, what is Geoff Kennett up to now? Does he want all of us to be walking around in black suits and operate out of black buildings? He had no idea about depression or mental health at all.
Because the black dog, isn't it?
The black dog, etc., etc. And secondly, every time there's a Premier's Conference, the night before the conference, or you go and have dinner up at the lodge with the Prime Minister, And invariably, we all walk back from there back to our accommodation. And on the way back, although I hadn't got the agenda item on the agenda, most of the premiers came up to me one by one and said they'd back us in putting together this national body. Jim Bacon, who was a Melbourne man who went on then to become Premier of Tasmania, he came up to me and said, count me in first. He said, my sister was a doctor. She took a life at 44, depressed. And so there was great agreement then. I came back from that conference and decided, as the Victorian economy was starting to grow again quite considerably after our inheritance in 92 when it was really a bit flat or very flat, I decided that without the federal government's help, I would commit $35 million of our new wealth to establish a national body to deal with depression, etc. And although we would fund it, it would have a national approach. The election came. Independent sided with our opposition, I got out of Parliament. And then after that, both Michael Woodridge, who was the Federal Health Minister, and one other asked me to continue the advocacy for setting up such a body. And I did that in the end of 2000, year 2000, with the financial backing of the federal government and the state government under the new Premier, Steve Brax. And I said to both of them, I'm happy to do this work, but I don't want to compete with other good community organisations for funds. Please give me enough money so that I can, for the next 5 years, concentrate on the job at hand. And they both tipped in $15 million each, Victoria and federal government. And I always give Steve Brax credit for that, because to tip in $15 million... into what had been, up until a few weeks before, your political opponent's so-called new organisation, was very generous. And then, as you know, every government has come on board. It's bipartisan. I was speaking to a Labor minister last night. I deal with Conservatives, Democrats, doesn't matter, Greens. It's the most wonderful bipartisan organisation. It is based here in Melbourne. Quite deliberately so. We didn't want to have offices in every state just because of costs, but that does mean our officers have to fly around the country a fair bit. So when you think of it, Beyond Blue exists today because my daughter asked me the question.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, there's always a saying, all politics are local, but all issues, they often get acted on when it becomes personal.
Yes, I think that's probably right. I mean, you find people involved in various community organisations, they're often there because they've experienced something themselves or they've experienced it within their families. What can you do to stop these young men dying on the roads? And at that stage, I was in a position of some influence. I never think politicians have got power. I think they have influence and it's how they use it. And Beyond Blue grew out of that. So a little acorn was planted. Since then, we've obviously very quickly put together a very good board, very good administration. They work very hard. And right now, as we sit here, I think I'm right, Nick, about 87% of the Australian public know of Beyond Blue, which is an extraordinary recognition rate by a not-for-profit organisation in just 11 years.
Yeah.
And I guess I often say it's the most important work I've done in my life to date, and I think it probably is, because you just help so many people right across the country. But it's actually changed the social thinking around mental health and depression. I mean, we're often talking about depression on the radio, on television, in a way you'd never have done so 10 years ago.
Because it was never, people didn't talk about it. You know, it was the great unsaid, wasn't it? I mean, Churchill talked about the black dog. How's the fight going? I mean, people are talking about it, but what do you think the future holds? Is the future bright, and, you know, can we actually, you know, as a total community, address it?
I think we are addressing it. I don't think we have completed the work yet by any means. I mean, there's still a lot of stigma in some places and in some workplaces. On the other hand, there's been a huge awakening. I've been to country meetings where I've seen men farmers get up and talk about their depression. Now, that's unheard of. Farmers were born to be tougher than John Wayne, and they never talked about anything that was health or relationship or financial. let alone publicly. So we've made huge inroads in terms of the public discussion. We've educated the community widely. There are more people reporting for professional help, and that's the wonderful thing about it. Early depression, if correctly diagnosed, can be cured. More serious forms of depression can be managed, again, through correct diagnosis. You might have seen the other day I launched a book for Andrew Robb, the federal politician, who rang me up when I was travelling around Tasmania last year wanting help. I'm just one of many who ring me up directly. And we got him the right help, and he has the right medication, that something that has been troubling him for 40 years and getting worse year upon year been lifted. And
10 years ago he wouldn't have he would have retired.
Well, 2 years ago he wouldn't have, 3 years ago wouldn't have even asked for help.
Yeah.
But every time I think of his case, and there are others that I can repeat, of people that have suffered in one sense unnecessarily for so many years, when your life is so short, it just beggars belief. So I would like to think that Beyond Blue is opening people's eyes to depression and mental health. I think the other thing, David, that's happened quite clearly is that since we started, in particular the advocacy, we've done some wonderful research. We've done it with children, and we're doing it with children. We've done it with postnatal depression, and which is now perinatal depression. We're doing it with the GLBTI community at the moment. But the one thing that's really happened is that governments have given mental health a higher priority than ever before.
Mm.
Every government in Australia, regardless of its politics, in the last 10 years have substantially increased their expenditure on mental health. Howard actually did what I wanted to do in 1990, put mental health on the COAG agenda and committed, I think it was $1.9 billion of new money. That's also been done by the Gillard government in committing new money. State governments have done the same. Now, there are people who say we still need more. And I guess when you've neglected, as you indicated, an issue of health for 200 years, and people have been locked up because people haven't been able to understand what the issues are, we're very short both on services, qualified professionals, and we're very short on facilities. But my argument is, when there's been such an influx of new money, you've got to prove to the governments in particular that you spend that money wisely before you ask for more money. It's not just about more money. If we had more money, we don't have the doctors. We're 600 psychiatrists short. So even if you build new facilities, you haven't got the people to man them. And early intervention is terribly important. So we haven't finished the task by any means, but we're so much better off in 2011 than we were in 2000 that it's almost a different world. This social change that has happened so quickly is particularly profound.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.